Welcome to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. Enjoy this sermon by Pastor Matt Wolfington.
Lord, I'm thankful for your spirit. I'm thankful that you give us a heart that connects to you. I'm thankful that we can give you our all. We can give you our glory. We can give you our honor. We can give you our praise, Lord, back to you. Lord, to rightly enthrone you in the very moment that you are with us. I don't know what you have in store for us after this 5, 10, 15, 30 minutes, Lord. I don't know what you have in store for tomorrow. I don't know what you have in store for all those that are experiencing the moments they are together in Wilmore right now. I don't know. But Lord, I know that if we will have a heart for you, if we will connect to you, it'll be greater things than even you ever did or experienced here on earth. Lord, it's your promise to us. It's your promise. We just have to be open to it. And we just have to present ourselves to you. And we just have to say yes to you. Lord, where healing needs to take place. Lord, I know that some folks are watching online today, just that I've been communicating with. Lord, going through chemotherapy. And Lord, just all the things going on in their life. Lord, you just give them that supernatural healing and peace and grace that they need. Lord, there's parents that have lost their children to tragedy, to death. Lord, there's hurt and there's heartache. There's hopelessness in their life. And Lord, only you can fill that spot. Lord, there's those that are just starting battles for health issues. Lord, you show them that you are the way in the midst of all this. Lord, there's so many that have even said out loud, and rightly so in their own lives, that they don't know that your goodness because of just the horrible hell of a life that they have been through. Lord, I pray that you would show them your goodness, not in the circumstances, but in your love, in your Holy Spirit, in your promises, in their future in you. Lord, whatever it is that you want to do in our lives, Lord, let it be so today. Lord, I pray for our offering today as well, Lord, that as we give, Lord, that you would bless our finances. Lord, just as I pray that you would bless us and the fact that we open our lives up to you and your guidance, Lord, that you would do the same for our finances. Lord, the loaves and fishes concept, Lord, that you would just multiply it as we continue to give to you so we can do more in your holy name. Lord, I pray for our children. Gosh, if they could just catch what we're trying to catch right now as adults at their early age, Lord, the world would change in a generation. Lord, the world would change. So, Lord, bless them and let us be their guide. Let us be their leader. Let us be their teacher. Lord, let us show them the way. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, all the people said, amen, amen. Kids are dismissed, unless, what have you got? You got something extra? I forgot. Go right ahead. You just go right ahead.
Two microphones in my hand, because I was trying to find the right one, so I guess I should talk, right? We are going to head out to Grace Kids. We'll go get some of those wiggles out. Guys, y'all did such a great job staying in here. I know, parents, I just want to add, as I was wrestling my five-year-old up here, don't ever, ever, ever feel bad about those moments with those kiddos. Thank you. Because they are watching you and they are learning and they are watching everyone else. So when they're talking and you're shushing and they're rolling on the chairs, they're seeing what's happening in here. And so don't ever feel guilty or bad about how they might be behaving. That's why we sit in the front row, because I've got the wiggliest kid in the room and everybody else can not feel bad about themselves while he's doing that. All right, is that all the kiddos? Everybody going with us? All right.
I have had some technology problems this morning with the program that we use to give you notes. And so, You can't text to get the notes, and so I'm hoping this will do what I want it to do, and it will send you the notes if you've ever asked for them before. Of course, like everything else, it's spinning in my life. How many of y'all can recognize that deal? Yes. Well, you can try to get the notes if you would like. I don't know that it's necessarily going to work. I couldn't make it work this morning. They are all there and ready to go, but such as it is, I'm going to once again count on the Holy Spirit to do His work. You can try to text that and see if you can get them. Nope, yeah, that QR code behind me. Or send the text the word notes to that phone number. Error. That's okay. So quickly, as we've been talking about doing time, I'm going to just modify a little bit and jump forward. I'm going to jump straight into the Acts 2:42 through 47 today. I want to talk to you about building alignment, alignment with the Holy Spirit. And this was, I love how God always works and brought the message last week. If you want to, you can try that. Brought the message last week about how when we're waiting on someone to make everything happen in our life, usually the Lord's just waiting on us. And then revival breaks out in Wilmore, just all these things that happened this week. We had a great XO date night out marriage conference this weekend. The Friday night was about half of what we have had in the past. I don't know what that was about, but it really didn't matter because Saturday was about double what we usually have on Saturday. And so I know that some great teaching was heard there. I know that just from one text, some lives and a marriage was transformed. So I'm thankful for God for that. Were that waiting on us? God was just waiting on them to make a choice, make a decision in their own life to follow them as a couple, and how God had already started blessing them. And so I'm so thankful for that. And so as we are thinking about alignment, what is it? Where in your own life? We sang that song, we need to make room for what God's going to do, but also how do we align ourselves with what God is already doing and align our spirit with His, and so we're connected, okay? So how many of you have ever, I got to use a snow skiing analogy because this works. How many of you have ever been snow skiing? Raise your hands, okay? If you have, I mean, if you don't keep your skis, right, parallel to each other and going in the same direction, you know, this is the only way you're going to go for a very long period of time. Now, how many of you have not done that, and you do this, and then your skis start doing like this as you go, and then you don't know what to do, right? See, that's where we are in our lives. If you don't keep them in line with what God has for you, you're going to go off in a different direction. And worse, and more painfully, you're going to be split. And the pain comes because you're fighting against what God wants to do and what the world is calling you to do. And when you do that, then alignment never happens, and then therefore your life is never quite in that feeling of fulfillment that you're looking for. And so here's what I want to do today is look at this passage of Scripture quickly in Acts, and this is where the Holy Spirit came and settled on the folks, and things just changed, all right? And so this is where the church started growing. They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and to the breaking of the bread and to prayer. Everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. And all the believers were together and had all things in common, and they would sell their property and possessions and share with all to the extent that anyone had need. Day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together and with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord was adding to their number day by day to those who were being saved. Okay? And so this is an idea of when there's an outpouring of God's blessing, when there's an outpouring of God's Holy Spirit, when we are in alignment with Him, then things change. Now, you've heard me say, and I really mean it sincerely, I want to have a full building of people and of worship, and I want our small groups to be full, and I want Bible studies and Sunday schools. I mean, there's something to be had for a quantity of people in critical mass. This different things happen when we're all together. But I'm also not about, okay, my ego, as big as it is, doesn't have to have 10,000 people on Sunday morning. Why do I want 10,000 people on Sunday morning? Because that just means a whole different level of commitment. Okay, not about me, and not about Ashley, and not about Dallas, but really about the Lord. But when we're adding to our numbers day by day, alignment really does matter, because alignment, okay, will always, always, always determine your direction and therefore determine your destination. If you want to go that way, but half of you is pointed that way, you're not going to get there. If you want to go that way and all of you is pointed a different way, you're not going to get there. And if you've heard me say, I mean, if you want to go to Abernathy, right, but you're a little bit pointed to Plainview, guess what you're going to miss? You're going to miss Abernathy. Just being off just a degree over distance makes you miss something. And so an alignment really does matter. And the church, here's what I want to say about us, and when I say the church, I mean the physical building and the physical gathering. This is not the destination. This is just the beginning. This is not where I want everyone to come all the time and just stay here for 75 minutes and then be done. This is just the beginning. Just to get somebody here and to get energized and to get fed and to worship the Lord is to go out and to do the work. This is just the beginning. It is not the destination. And that transformation that you know and that you've experienced, you take to others for them to know and to experience. That's how change happens. That's the only way it happens. So remember, how do we do that? Well, we have to align our gifts. We have to align our talents. We have to have a common mission, vision, and strategy, right? And to create the possibilities, to create the avenues, to create just the potential for making life better for all of us. And then all of those around us. And how do we do that? Well, I don't know if you've heard any time that we've ever said it, or if you've read it somewhere on the website, or I don't know. But we do have a mission, okay? Our mission is to reach, grow, and send, right? Reach people to grow your discipleship quotient, and then to send you to go make more disciples. And send does not mean you have to go to South America. To sin does not mean you have to go to Africa. To sin does not even mean you have to go outside Lubbock, Texas. It may be at your business. It may be at your hobby. It may be at your house. It may be at Thanksgiving. It may be at Christmas with your relatives. It may be next door at your neighbor's house. Okay? But to sin means to go and to do what we're doing here and take it to other people, all right? And then to cultivate fully devoted followers of Jesus, right? To reach, grow, and send, okay, fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. And that's where the alignment problem happens. Because if we're not fully aligned, we can't be fully devoted. If I'm not fully aligned, back to the ski analogy, if I'm not fully aligned, if I'm just off by a little bit with even one, my left ski, it's going to not go the way I want it to go. We have to be fully aligned. And that takes work. I don't know if you've, for those that have been snow skiing or water skiing even, it's the same thing, roller skating, anything where your feet operate independently, you have to work at it. Even I've been skiing since I was 7 years old. I'll do all the stupid things. I mean, I'll hike where the ski lifts don't go, and I'll do the dumb things. But let me tell you, it doesn't come naturally to me, and I have to work at it. And every once in a while, I'll see that I'm about to lose it, and I have to work to keep it going. It's work. Married couples in the room, amen? I mean, children, parents in the room, amen? I mean, it just takes work. Children in the room, to be a child, to have parents, it takes work. Amen? Yeah. Y'all are so good, you're not going to badmouth your parents right now. They're keeping the commandments. I mean, it takes effort. To stay aligned takes effort. And so here's what is so hard, though. Well, hold on. We have a strategy also to do those things, okay? to do those things. We want to be a Christ-centered family of grace where all persons are welcome and wanted. Okay? So when we say all that together, it talks about our mission, our vision, and our strategy. Our strategy is to be welcoming. Our strategy is to say we want anyone and everyone to come, even when they're not like us, even when they don't act like us. And when I say us, I mean as individuals, not as the body of Christ. I mean just, we're all just different. And we all look different, and we all act different. We all have different patterns of morality, and we all have made different choices. But to bring us all together means we start focusing and we start having alignment. But here's the hard part about being aligned in the church, in the body of Christ. It's countercultural. It's not normal. It's not what everybody else is doing. And even true alignment varies from church to church, because if I say true alignment means that we're worshiping like they're doing at Wilmore right now, some of you are going, I'm out. True alignment might mean that we worship more than 17 or 18 minutes and we worship for 30 minutes like we do today. And some of you are like, man, I hope we never do that again. Oh, I know your minds. I know. And it's okay. It's work. And we have to work to know the mind of God, to live the life of God that He has in store for us. And then we just keep building and we keep building and we keep building. Okay? I mean, you've heard me say it before, not today, by the way. I could have just kept going. I almost looked at Dallas and was like, keep going. But there are some days I want to look at Dallas and go, that's enough. I'm ready to go take a nap. See, we have to work at it. We have to work to stay in the will of God. We have to work to stay where Christ wants us to be. But then, here's what I also know. When we're in alignment, it brings absolute power. Absolute power. I don't know why it took from 1970 to 2023 for whatever happened at Wilmore in that chapel that day for that perfect alignment to happen, but it did. And when it did, I had a dream last night. I've been thinking about it. And I had a dream last night. It's just like there's this giant funnel that encompassed all of heaven, and it just poured right into that little bitty chapel in Wilmore. And I don't know what it took to get that, and I don't know what it takes to get to us, but just let me tell you, that outpouring of God's Spirit is, I don't want to say it's rare, but it's rare in that giant of a public and corporate setting. It has happened, and there's studies and all sorts of things about where it's happened in the world and what took place and how it happened, but that is rare. And why? I don't know. My favorite one, I can just see them right now. I've seen a picture. There's a little church in a place called Hernhut. Is it Scotland? Ireland? Anybody know? Nobody knows. He'll find it. It doesn't matter. It's in one of those little places on the globe that looks like this. And it's an island, okay? And so in this little bitty church, 100 years ago, revival broke out. And as it did, it was so powerful. I know this is hard to believe, but there's written testimony. There's actually the logs of, like, written logs and journals on ships from captains that were on the coast of this place, far away from that church, where when they passed by, something radically happened to the people on that ship. That's incredible. That's worship. That's revival. That's an outpouring of God's Spirit. And do we all want that? Not all of us, because we don't understand that and it scares us to death. But it is the outpouring of God. And if we, when we become in aligned with Him, that can happen to us individually, if not corporately. It happens in my life, in your life, in the lives of our families, in our marriages, in our children's, in our jobs, in our business, and everything. It just happens. But how do we do it? Well, here's how we do it. I found this illustration this weekend. I thought, this is perfect. I was actually looking for something totally different and ran across this idea of grafting plants, okay? And so there's this idea of grafting plant where you take they call it the root stock. It happens in apple orchards all the time. They take the root stock of a tree that has stopped producing fruit, that the root system is still good, but it's part of it's died off and whatever. And they cut into that first picture there. They cut into the root. They cut into the stump, and they graft in a new tree. They graft in a smaller vine or branch from another one into that root stock, and then they seal it up. They bind it up with tape or with whatever they use to do that, string and all the different things, and they get it so tight that it starts growing into the two become one. And as it does, as that graft happens, here's what the requirements are, and here's what the qualities are. The first one is compatibility and likeness. I'm trying to hurry so I don't keep you. Compatibility and likeness. And Paul talked about this. He said that the root of God, the root of Christ, is holy, and we are to be holy as He is holy. How in the world can we do that? We graft ourselves to Him. He cut, He bled, so we could graft ourselves into Him. And the tighter we wind ourselves, the closer we get to Him. The second factor is that alignment and pressure. The more tightly we are pressed against Christ, the more likely we are to become into alignment with Him. The tighter I am pressed to God, the more of Him is going to flow into me, and the more of His likeness is going to come into me. Because He and His way, right, is the way. And as we do that, our union grows. And then the third factor is the care of the graft site. They seal that up. They tape it up. They make sure no infection, no bacteria, no outside forces, no bugs can get in there, so it doesn't contaminate it and it doesn't hurt the new tree. And so for us, what is that? It's daily care. It's prayer. It's meditation. It's fasting every once in a while. It's worship. It's fellowship with others. James 1:21 says this: in humility receive the word implanted. One translation even says grafted, which is able to save your souls. Romans 8:28, and we know that God causes all good things to work together for the good of those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. See, when we know His purpose, we start changing and we start aligning ourselves. What are those? Well, when we graft ourselves, He reveals to us the truth of Scripture. When we graft ourselves, He reveals to us the power to overcome sin and temptation. When we graft us to Him, He gives us boldness to witness, to say, here's what life is like. When we graft ourselves to Him, we start transforming. And you want to know how well you're grafted? Look at your fruit. We say it all the time. As I said that, I went, you've said it. Dallas says it. We say it all the time in Bible studies and in small groups and in staff meetings. But it's true. If you want to know what you're grafted to, look at your fruit. I mean, if you want to be an apple tree, you don't graft yourself to a pear tree. Right? If you want to be Christ-like, you don't graft yourself to something that's un-Christ-like. And how do we change? How do we do that? We build alignment. And let me tell you this. We know the fruit of the Spirit, right? I mean, patience, gentleness, kindness, self-control. I wrote them all down because I forget. Joy, peace, patience. All those things. Just look at yourself. What fruit are you bearing? Now, here we are as the body of Christ. Okay, now look. If you look at an apple orchard, you can see a little bit back in there. They don't all look the same. They're not all, they are all bearing fruit, but some are short, some are tall, some are wide, some are not so wide, some have a lot of fruit, and some don't have as much fruit. Alignment doesn't mean we all agree and we don't all have the same lives, but it does mean we all have the same focus. We need the same focus. We need to want to reach, grow, and send fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. We want all people. We welcome all people. We want to be a Christ-centered family of grace. And we want people. We want to welcome them. We need to have that. So I don't know about you and when you want that and how you want that, but this is where you have to change. This is where I have to change to be more focused. When it says make room, I don't know how you do it. And I can't even begin to tell you how to do it because something's got to give. And for so many people, that's hard. I mean, it's not about trying harder. It's about being more focused. It's not about, that's just it. It's not about trying harder. Most of you can't try any harder. I know that. But it's about being focused. It's about where your skis are pointed. It's about where the direction is in your life. It's about what the fruit is. What are we bearing? So for us, that's where I want us to go. I want us to start looking at our focus. You start looking at your focus. Okay, I know that, this is going to sound so churchy and preacherly, but if you're not in the small group, you need to get in a small group. And a small group can be Sunday morning, by the way. It could be at 9:30 right back here on this hallway, or for your little kids right back there on that hallway. Students, junior high and high school, right behind me here, right? If you can't do 9:30, they're all over the place during the week. You just have to make time. You have to make room for that. And if you say, I'm already in a Bible study, great. I'm not asking you to do another one. And then where are you serving? And by the way, this is not to diminish. Do not hear me say this, okay? This is not about necessarily serving coffee and donuts and greeting people. That's a great place to serve, but that may not be your deal. Okay, you may need to serve somewhere else. You may need to teach Sunday school. You may need to start a small group. You may need to help with missions. Okay, whatever it is, and you may have better ideas than that. I don't want to tell you what your service is, because you may say, hey, we have somebody in the church about 2 years ago, I think, they wanted to start sending things to people that don't make it to church. We call them homebound. Where for health reasons or age reasons, transportation reasons, whatever, they just can't get here. They said, I want to start sending them stuff. Great. And my gosh, I mean, I was thinking a card in the mail. They started sending them gift baskets. I mean, they started sending them what I call agape, love. They started sending them things that showed them how much the church cared about them. You figure out what your service is. I just want to help you. Right? So, this idea of change, I'm going to finish with this, praise team, come on up, is how do we multiply exponentially? If you're waiting on me to multiply the church, this is about as good as I can do. This is it. I can't do anymore because there's not enough of me. So I need you. The Lord needs you. I'm even attending a group that's around the country. We're going to meet three times. We've already met twice. We've got one more. And it's called Exponential Multipliers. And how do we do it? So here's the... Does anybody know the Home Depot slogan? Somebody yell it out if you do. You can do it. We can help. That's going to be my slogan from now on. But it's going to be this. You can do it. We can help. You can do it. I just want to give you the resources. If you need a little bit of money to start something, you come see me. If you need resources like social media and somebody to manage that for you to get the word out there, we can do that. If you need pens and papers and Bibles, I mean, we got a slew of Bibles around here. I mean, I don't know what you need. If you need a venue, if you need a room, if you need an idea, if you need a helper, if you say, I can teach, but I don't have room for people to come to my house, or I just really don't want to clean my house, so can we use somebody else's? Amen? Yeah, see, some of y'all are laughing. There's people that want to let you use their house. They don't want to teach anything. See, there's ways to do this. And when we start doing that, revival may not look like it did on that screen in Wilmore, but revival will come in whatever way God has planned for us. Okay? Lord, let revival come. And it sincerely may not be thousands of people worshiping in a room, even though that would be fantastic for me personally. But Lord, true revival comes after that gathering is over and the hearts and minds of the people are changed, and that takes place in other ways, where more small groups happen, where lives are transformed, where the witness of your power takes place, and then that grows, and then that grows, and then that grows. Because quite frankly, we can get tired of doing it the way we're doing it now. We need to do it differently. We need to do it exponentially. So Lord, open up our hearts, open up our minds. Lord, teach us how to graft ourselves into you and let you start flowing into us. But still, you're waiting on us to start the graft. I pray that it would be so in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen and amen and amen. Another bold move. Take the hand of someone next to you and stretch out over those aisles. As the body of Christ, connected by the power of His Holy Spirit, not always in agreement, but always in focus, together in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, I pray that we would be grafted to Him in new ways, powerful ways, growing ways, transformative ways, fruitful ways that show the world we are His. And all the people said, amen, amen. Remember, tonight there's nothing happening at the church because there's some silly thing happening, I don't know, on television. So see y'all next week.